It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tonight, the Road F Shalom congregation in Pittsburgh is hosting a town hall in support of a two-state solution. The two-state solution refers to a plan for resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict under discussion, which calls for two states for two peoples. It's a key part of the Obama administration's foreign policy strategy for bringing peace to the Middle East, and Secretary of State John Kerry has been working with Israelis and Palestinians on negotiating such a plan. As part of J Street's 2 campaign, two young activists from the group One Voice are speaking tonight in Pittsburgh, Palestinian Obada Shataya and Israeli Matan Peretz, and they join us now in Studio A. Obada Shataya, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
And Matan Peretz, good to have you here as well.
Thank you.
Obada, let me begin with you. You are a native of Nablus, Palestine.
Right.
The Arab community of Palestine has traditionally rejected the idea of creating separate Jewish and Arab states. What led you to decide that the two-state solution would be the path toward peace?
Well, one of the important things is that recent polls have shown that the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza are into the two-state solution, especially after living, a long period of war, going through the first all the wars before the Intifadas and then the first Intifada and the second Intifada. So people are now sick of the war, and that led them to, get to the realizations that it's okay to compromise in order to get to peace.
And Matan Peretz, you are a native of Jerusalem in Israel. Why do you believe so strongly in the two-state solution?
Well, mainly I believe because I feel that the sense of security the Israelis feel today is an illusion. It's unsustainable. And if we keep staying in this situation right now, it will escalate in the future. I can just tell you my personal experience of just after my release from the Israeli army, I was recruited again to one of the Israeli military operations, and I had to miss a month of my university studies. And eventually, that operation led nowhere, and I anticipate one soon if nothing will happen.
This stop that you are making in Pittsburgh as part of a nationwide tour to American cities in support of a two-state solution, how did this idea come about? The idea of coming to America and going to different cities in the United States and telling Americans why they should get behind the president and the Secretary of State, John Kerry, and say, yeah, this is the path to peace.
Well, first of all, our main activities are for the Israeli and Palestinian societies. But obviously, without the American support, I don't think we would have gone that far in the peace negotiations that we have now. And we can see the American support in the previous peace negotiations and the peace agreements we had back with Egypt and Jordan. So right now, the Israelis do trust the efforts of Secretary of State Kerry. And after being in the region for 11 times, they really hope that they will pay off. But actually, both of us are together now on an international engagement program, and the idea is to, first of all, show to the Palestinian and Israeli Americans who live here and to the American society our actions that we're doing in Israel, and to seek, as I said before, we have had much of American support up until now, so to seek that same support, and that support can be with helping us financially, with actually speaking to congressmen and senators in supporting the two-state solution and supporting our efforts.
And Obada, how did you get recruited to take part in this?
When I was in the second year of school, one of my friends from the university invited me to a town hall meeting that One Voice Palestine organized in my city, Nablus. And there, I, for the first time, actually got introduced to this idea of the two-state solution. I had heard of the two-state solution, but I didn't really understand what the two-state solution was or, what are the compromises or the benefits that we're going to get out of the two-state solution. So in that very town hall meeting, I got to a number of realizations. One, that the reality on the ground has changed, and that's why the PLO, for example, adopted the two-state solution 25 years ago, and the PLO is the Palestinian Liberation Organization. representatives of the Palestinians. And if they knew that it wasn't good, they wouldn't have adopted this. What I get to know in that town hall meeting is that it's also getting benefit for the Palestinians in addition to the compromises that are, of course, necessary, which is that first, it's going to give us an independent state where we're going to be able to move freely, freedom of movement. It's going to give us, for example, you know, the normal life conditions in a state where you're going to be able to have an airport, currency, and live just like other people, like other nations.
And what has the response been in the cities that you've visited? Like, what are the American people saying to you about this?
Well, the Americans are unfortunately, I mean, it's surprising to me that they're surprised that there are Palestinians who are in support of the two-state solution. This is one of the responses. Another response is that people are so happy that there are activists working on the ground for the two-state solution, especially with the nonviolent activism that we're carrying out in Palestine. Now, my colleagues in Palestine are doing a big campaign that is called Wake Up, What's Your Role? And another one next to it is called 1 Minute, you know, to talk to the people and engage in conversations with them, where they're trying to infuse hope into people, especially with the desperate situation, the expansion of settlements that is going on the ground and all those things.
And what about the expansion of settlements? I mean, that's really been a difficult part of these negotiations. The Israelis say they've always wanted a two-state solution, and yet they keep expanding into Palestinian territory, and Palestinians don't like that. So how do you deal with that?
Oh, definitely. Nor do I like that. I am, as I said, coming from the public. I'm coming from the grassroots, and the grassroots is angry at how we were brought back into the negotiations, and they're not very happy with the leadership. However, as one voice, and personally, I believe that we should take it a bit differently. Because we can be angry, but that's not going to get us anything. We should do something on the ground that is effective and constructive. We need to take a stance. So what we did is that we tried to talk to the people and tell them, well, we were brought back into those negotiations anyway, and now we are in the middle of it. So it's either that we continue and support our leaders, you know, to at least contribute for the negotiations and try to get somewhere and show the world that Palestinians are into the two-state solution and that we're not the obstacle to peace, or that we're going to be accused of sabotaging the peace process if we just withdraw. And from this aspect, from this point of view, I support negotiations and I hope that they're going to get somewhere.
Matan, what has the reaction been like? What are you hearing from Americans about the two-state solution as you tour the country?
Well, I was happy to see that there is a broad support to the two-state solution. Obviously, I experienced a lot of apathy. That it's pretty familiar because that's what I experienced in Israel as well.
Really?
Yeah. Because most of Israelis, at least for if you see the recent polls, constantly believe in the two-state solution, but most of them don't believe it will actually happen. And actually, in the previous poll, only 4% actually believe these negotiations will lead anywhere. So I guess that reflects the American public we got to meet because they get the news, the same news and the same ideas. And I guess that's why they feel the same hopelessness of the situation.
So has this helped? Do you feel it's giving people hope? What you're doing, what the fact that you two guys, you know, one Palestinian, one Israeli, that you're going around.
That's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to wake up, especially the Israeli public on my side, because I feel that the biggest problem and the biggest challenge is that Israelis got really disconnected from the situation, uninformed and ignorant about it. So the main thing is, first of all, to get them informed and aware about the situation, open them up to new ideas, let them meet with decision makers and leaders even from the Palestinian side so they can actually see that there's a Palestinian partner, and eventually get them active in order for them to actually influence the decision makers.
We're talking with two young activists here on Essential Pittsburgh from the group One Voice who are speaking tonight in the city. Palestinian Obada Shataya and Israeli Matan Peretz. They are in Pittsburgh and traveling to a number of cities in the United States in support of the two-state solution, the plan for resolving Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Matan, how about for you as an Israeli coexisting with Palestinians? What has that been like? How has that served to inform your experiences and what you're involved in now?
You know, it's an interesting question because I feel ashamed that until a very late age of my life, I haven't even seen a Palestinian. I haven't been really living besides him. And suddenly, when I joined One Voice and when I started hearing stories from the other side and started getting more interested about it and watching movies, reading even more articles, viewing pictures from their activities, I suddenly understood that there are people on the other side coexisting with me. We're talking here about two peoples and not just two leaders who are trying to reach a solution. So right now, if you're asking if there's coexistence, there is no coexistence. The Israelis see the Palestinians as one big enemy. And my idea is to change that, to show them that there is a group of people and that they're trying to reach the same goal as we're trying to reach.
And for you, Abada, what has your life been like? Are there experiences that are particularly important to you in terms of how you've coexisted with Israelis?
Well, I would say not really for a number of things, especially because Palestinians have only been introduced to the Israeli army that we see in checkpoints and every day in our everyday life. So if I want to go from my city to the main city in Palestine, Ramallah, I would have to go through at least two checkpoints where, you know, you need to deal with the Israeli army, who would force you to get out of the car and so on and so forth. So all those things would only introduce the Palestinians to one face of the Israelis. Another experience is that my dad was imprisoned 9 times. Which means that I had the Israelis coming to my house, storming the house, sometimes destroying some things in the house. And this is the face of the Israelis that I saw. What's interesting about One Voice is that we're working with the Palestinians to show the Palestinians not only, I mean, we're not trying to say that the Israelis are, you know, angels and so on and so forth. We're rather trying to say that the two-state solution is good for you as Palestinians, and it's going to prevent the confiscation of your land, and it's going to bring you more benefits than you think. And if you don't really work on the two-state solution and try to become an activist instead of being, you know, just passive about it, you are contributing in losing more land.
In your opinion, what has been the real obstacle for peace between Palestinians and Israelis?
A number of things. One of the things is that I believe that the Israeli governments that have been always there were not exactly into the two-state solution, especially because of the expansion of settlements that we see on the ground, that in the eyes of the Palestinians, they see that as well. If the Israelis are willing to compromise for peace, then why are they building settlements on the ground? And also the other question is, well, Netanyahu, the prime minister, is not even recognizing that he's negotiating over the 1967 borders as bases. So those are main things in the negotiations and getting to the two-state solution. A third thing is that the public in Palestine is not prepared for the two-state solution. And this is what the analysts usually say when they talk about Oslo peace process. And this is one thing that we're trying to do in One Voice. Well, despite of the fact that the two-state solution seems a bit far, we're trying to prepare the public for this moment when the two-state solution comes around. And, you know, when we get to an Israeli government that is willing to compromise so that the Palestinians would understand what the two-state solution is and would be able to live with it.
And for you, Matan Peretz, what do you think has been the obstacle toward the thing that has prohibited peace between Palestinians and Israelis?
Well, I think up until now, the main obstacle was the endless cycles of violence. For instance, in the Israeli collective memory, you still have pictures of the suicide bombings and the rockets in Israeli cities. And for Israelis to move from that to a new way of actually reaching to peace is very hard. And besides that, they feel pretty secure today. I mean, they got after a few military operations and a few years of failed negotiations, there's this sense of status quo where they feel that if any change will be done, then the cycles of violence will repeat themselves. So why actually change the situation? Why rock the boat?
So you're saying Israelis have become comfortable with the way things are now and don't necessarily want to do anything to change that because they wouldn't necessarily feel any more secure?
Exactly. Now, besides that, we have extremists on the Israeli side as well who are trying to prevent it. For instance, one of the major voices that we have, obviously, it's the minority, but as you know, the minority can be very loud. So we have a strong lobby that represents the Israeli settlements. So this lobby, the Yesha Council, represents them. And a few weeks ago, they came out with this campaign against Secretary of State Kerry's efforts. It was a national-wide campaign, both on billboards and in social media. And we found out that even that campaign was under the table funded by the Israeli government. And it sounds surprising. We were surprised as well. So that's one of the things that in one voice we tried fighting against and showing that the absurd of, on one hand, leading this peace process and the other hand, undermining it.
Well, you're certainly talking about some difficulties, Matan, in Israel. And Obada, for you as a Palestinian, how difficult is it, from your viewpoint, to maintain the whole peace process when you have these two factions creating what some see as a civil war among the Palestinians, Fatah and Hamas, who both say that they are the true representatives of the Palestinian people, and yet they strongly disagree on any number of issues, including Israel?
Well, this is definitely an unfortunate thing that we have in Palestine. We have been working on this as a Palestinian public for quite some time. We're protesting against this, and we hope that they're going to get back together. Well, one thing that answering your last question concerning whether they agree in Israel or not, you know, like this is politics and this is how it goes not only in Palestine, but all over the world. Nobody says what they actually have in mind. So one of the things that actually interests me is that Hamas had signed on paper 2 years ago that recognizes a two-state solution as an end to the conflict. And not only Hamas and Fatah, but also all the Palestinian factions in there, which demonstrates how much their speech is more political than it's reflective of their beliefs. So even Hamas believes in the two-state solution, and Khaled Mash'al, the representative of Hamas, the spokesperson of Hamas and the head of Hamas, had an interview with Charlie Rose 2 years ago, and he said publicly that he is willing to give up their weapons and go into the two-state solution if the Israelis withdraw from the West Bank. One last thing that I would like to say is that, well, I believe that we gave Hamas and Fatah has two political factions lots of opportunities, and it's time now for the Palestinian public to go out to the streets and protest and say, well, if you're not going back together, if you're not reconciling for the Palestinians and you keep going behind your own interests, then we need to come up with a third party and then start a new elections and just come up with a new leadership.
So that's what's giving you hope, is the idea that the people, that the majority of the Palestinian people will bypass the politics, the parties, even the Palestinian Authority chairman Mahmoud Abbas, and take matters into their own hands?
Well, I believe that the president is great in his views and his stances, but the thing is that, you know, if you're the president and the people around you are busy with something else, then nothing is going to happen. So I actually believe that he's a great person to lead the peace process, but we as public need to move forward and tell him, well, go ahead and not only, you know, talk about the negotiations, but rather we need to go to the streets and support him so that he can tell the Israelis, the world, and the Americans that the Palestinians are into this peace process and are into getting to a resolution, which is why everyone needs to work for this. Otherwise, the Palestinians would, you know, turn to something else. Because if this expansion of settlements continues for 10 more years, then me personally, I don't think that I'm going to still pursue the two-state solution or look for the two-state solution. I would want a one-state solution because the settlements would have confiscated more lands and, you know, eaten the Palestinian land. So I would rather one-state solution where we're going to have equal rights as Palestinians with the Israelis. That's going to be a very tough period, especially with Israel, you know, concerned with the Jewishness of the state. So this should be an important element to push Israel to go for the two-state solution and also push the international community, the United States, and everyone to help the Palestinians get and the Israelis get to an agreement soon enough.
It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we are talking with two young activists from the group One Voice, speaking tonight in Pittsburgh, Palestinian Obada Shataya, whom you just heard, and Israeli Matan Peretz. They are both advocating for the two-state solution as a means toward peace in the Middle East and between Palestinians and Israelis. Gentlemen, as we conclude this, history is not on your side here. The first proposal for the creation of Jewish and Arab states in the British Mandate of Palestine was made in the Peel Commission report going back to 1937. And the British, with the British continuing to cover only a small area containing Jerusalem, the recommended partition proposal was rejected by the Arab community of Palestine, accepted by most of the Jewish leadership, then later rejected by the British as impracticable. And then 10 years later, you had the UN partition plan. A year after that, the 1948 Arab-Israeli War broke out. And there's been periodic conflicts ever since. So have the attitudes really changed that much? And are you representative of a younger generation that is part of a changing attitude?
Well, I believe that it did change so much because of a number of reasons. So looking at why the Arab League, for example, or the Arab nations rejected the partition plan, it's because historically, I mean, just 10 or 20 years before that, we were living in historical Palestine. And it's really easy, you know, to just lose, for example, 56% to Palestine. You know, it's your land. So how about somebody comes from the outside and takes the land and tells you, well, you only deserve the 44%. But, you know, realizing that this is the status quo now, it's a new reality on the ground that needs to be accepted, especially because of the imbalance in power in the situation. And that's why now the Palestinians are more interested in living in their own independent state. I would say that I am representative of the young generation in Palestine in terms of accepting the two-state solution. However, not everyone in Palestine is as helpful as I am or as active as myself, which is why in One Voice we are trying to, you know, recruit as many young people as possible and produce as many leaders as possible for the future so that, you know, this generation can lead the change and hopefully bring the Middle East to a better future.
Matan Peretz, what gives you hope?
Well, I can feel a sense of change. It is slight, but I feel a little feeling of optimism. It's cautious optimism, but that is mainly because Israelis are already starting to feel the effects of the conflict. You could see that 3 years ago when 500,000 Israelis went out to the streets and protested for social justice. And the main reason the protests failed are because they couldn't make the connection. But today, when Israel is quite secure and quite safe, but the economic situation still hasn't changed, Israelis are starting to feel that maybe these situations are connected. So I can personally say that in my chapter in Jerusalem, where I work with young Israelis and young students, I can feel many more people wanting to be active and wanting to change the situation and find a solution. And again, we have many activities to try and connect them. I think the main event that was 2 weeks ago and actually brings me hope because I saw the really great effect that it had afterwards was that we sent 300 Israeli students to the Mukata to meet President Abbas, Abu Mazen, and let him speak in front of them and without any media mediating and let them ask questions. And afterwards, the effects were phenomenal. I mean, you saw on social media many students starting to create discussion circles. And there was national media coverage. And suddenly the Israelis realized that, A, you have Palestinians on the other side. You have Abbas, who sounds very pragmatic. And they're even starting to ask themselves, why isn't Netanyahu doing the same gestures or even talking to the Israeli public? So these questions, as we're getting toward the nine-month deadline, are starting to be raised in Israel.
And that was Israeli Matan Peretz. We've also been talking with Palestinian Obada Shataya about the two-state solution, which they support. And they are speaking tonight at the Rodef Shalom congregation in Pittsburgh, which is hosting a town hall in support of a two-state solution. And they are traveling the country as part of the group One Voice, speaking in favor of the two-state solution, calling for two states for two peoples. Thank you so much for being a part of our discussion. Matan Peretz, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
And Obada Shataya, thank you.
Thank you for hosting us.
And we'll have more Essential Pittsburgh coming up on 90.5 WESA.